All right, good morning, everybody. Hey, it's so good to see you. Welcome to Church on the Rock. Thank you for coming on a holiday weekend like this. It's so good to see you all across the auditorium and the balcony, and then certainly all of you who are tuning in online. Thank you guys so much for being connected to church. Listen, today, if it's okay, I want to set the pace a little bit different. Is that okay? Can I have some permission from some people? If I get enough, I'll do it. Okay, good. I got nods, I got claps, I got amens. I'll take it. I want to start, though, by doing a couple things, if I can, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. Number one thing I want to do is I just want to give a very special shout-out and a huge thank you to Miss Cynthia Evans and Mr. Anthony Quinteri for the incredible messages that you brought to us while I was out on vacation. If you're a guest, by the way, my name's Josh. I have the privilege to serve as the lead pastor here. And the last two Sundays, my family and I were gone on vacation, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And those two amazing people use their callings and their giftings to serve you really, really well in my absence. I think every time that I leave, the church gets better. It's amazing. somehow things improve every time I'm gone. I think it's a testament to the amount of team and the caliber of team that's around me. I also want to encourage you, listen to me carefully. If I can get 100% attention in the room, 100% attention online, let's make Serve Day the best Serve Day Church on the Rock has ever participated in. I'm telling you, you want to be a part of it. I promise you, even if you're like, oh man, I'm busy. Look, we're all busy. Everybody's busy, okay? Like, I don't know, it's July, it's Florida, it's hot. Okay, like we can do it. It's 4 hours. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Some of the greatest memories that you're going to make on that day. Some of the greatest friendships you're going to make on that day. Some of you have become like really good friends of mine because we served together at Serve Day. So I'm just saying, all I'm saying is go to cotr.live, click on Serve Day, and register to make a difference with your church. We will partner on that day at that time with churches across the world. We are not the only church doing this. We will be a church among the big C church, making a difference in local communities through the local church worldwide. And so I'm just encouraging you, like, get involved in something that the whole church is doing. Amen, everybody? So be there or be square, as they used to say. Okay, all right. So here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to change the pace. I've got my normal table, but I brought a stool. Did you guys notice that? Brought a stool with me. And if it's okay with you, I just want to sit on the stool and talk today. Is that okay? A little bit of a change of pace. A lot of pastors do this these days, but I really would like, if I can, to have more like a conversation with you. Is that okay? So I want you to imagine that you're on your couch, and I'm just sitting in the chair, and we're just kind of talking in the living room. Does that sound good? Now, if you're tuning in online and you're sitting on your couch, this is perfect for you. Like this is the best thing ever for you. So just imagine that I'm in the living room with you, and I just want to have a conversation because of a couple of things. I felt God lead me in a bit of a different sort of rhythm than I normally would teach in or preach in. And here's how I feel. Number one, we're kind of middle of the summer, you know, in Florida, that is. It's like the middle. Right here, 4th of July weekend. I believe that, and Pastor Aldrich said this maybe not so coincidentally moments ago, but I really believe that the people that are in the room today, the people that are tuning in online, even if you're watching the playback or whatever because you had plans, that's cool. Like, you're in this. I believe the people that are in the room today and connected to this service, you're like the homies. You know what I'm saying? And you're like the core. You're like the hub of the family and the mission of Church on the Rock. And so I wanted to talk more to that audience. Now, if you're a guest this morning, you won't be left out, all right? I just want to welcome you into the, quote, inner circle, if that's the right term, and it's probably not, so you can send me an email about it. But I want to invite all the guests in. Just welcome to the living room. We're just going to have a little bit of a conversation. Does that sound okay? I also wanted to do this because I am fresh off of a vacation, so I just got back into the office Monday, so I'm full week back into the swing, and I want to kind of talk about some things that have happened to me a little bit throughout really my life, and then I want to talk about why it matters today. Is that okay? Can I have your permission? Amen. Okay, good. All right, I'll take it. That's enough of a go-ahead for me to do it. So I want to start. I'm a storyteller, and some of you know this about me, but I want to start with a story. Is that okay? And I want to go all the way back to the beginning. It was February 17th, 1983, Flagler Hospital. Okay, I'm kidding. Not that far back. that would be a long service, everybody. I want to go back to day number one that I was the pastor of this church. I want to take you back there, and I want to tell you a story. Some of you have heard this story. Bear with me if you would. But it's going to help contextualize what I want to share with you today. And I can assure you, I want you to know what to expect from today. Today is a message of gratitude and thanksgiving. Like, I from here want to applaud you from there. Okay? That's what today is. Now, just so you know what's coming, it's going to start like this. It's going to dip a little bit, and you're going to be like, I don't understand how this is gratitude, and then it's going to just lift to a whole new altitude, okay? So I just want you to know what to expect. So I'm going to go back to the very beginning when I had the privilege to become the lead pastor of Church on the Rock. Now, I've been here for well over 20 years as a part of the church. I've been the pastor now for just over 11 years. So I want to go back to weekend one, if I may. And so our church was founded by an amazing couple, Tom and Nancy Outley, probably watching online. Good to see you guys this morning. Give it up if you would for our founders. They were super, super, and I probably could never articulate well enough the influence that they had in my spiritual development. And I mean from when I was really young. They've known me basically my entire life, and they've had a voice and an influence in me for the entire journey. And then specifically when I became a part of this church family, it really began to intensify a lot, and then ultimately led to the opportunity for me to become the lead pastor of the church. And so it was January 23rd, 2011 was day one for me as the pastor of this church. But on the 22nd, I got a text message. And it was from Miss Nancy. And here's what it said. It said, go to the church, walk the grounds, the Lord has a word for you. And I was a little vexed, to be honest with you, because I'm thinking like right now? Because I will. Like, do I go now? Do I go in the morning? Because I'll be there anyway. I wasn't really sure what to do. And I just sort of, I was pondering this tension a little bit. And then I decided, you know what? I'm going to be there early in the morning, and I'm going to respond, and I'm going to trust that God has a word for me. And so early that Sunday morning, I got up and I got to the church, and it was really, really cold. It was one of those rare cold Florida days. You know what I'm talking about? You have about three a year. This was one of those. And I went into what I guess would have been my office. I don't know, the facility over there. It's now our kids' campus. Like, it doesn't even look today at all like it looked then. I went into a little space, and again, it was cold, and I just thought, like, all right, I'm just going to pray and hope that God speaks to me. But then I thought back to the detail of the text, and the text message said, walk the grounds. I'm also really particular about my shoes, and there's dew on the grass, and I don't want dirty shoes. And there was a lot of reasons why I didn't want to go outside, okay? I didn't have a jacket. It was just my little probably button-down shirt like this, you know, and it's pretty breezy and cold. I had a million reasons not to go outside. But I wanted to follow the voice of someone who had such a powerful influence. And I was like, I got to do what the text says. And so against my own will and at the peril of my shoes, I walked outside. And I walked around the buildings. If you drive past it as you leave, you'll see. I just walked around those buildings, same buildings. They just internally, they looked a lot different. Externally, they looked about the same. And I began to walk around the building, and I came around, you know, and I don't know what to expect. I'm just walking and trying to pray, trying to listen. Anybody ever had a prayer time like that? Like, you need God to speak, but like, how do you do it? I don't know. And that was me. And so I'm just kind of walking around. And anyway, long story short, I started down the sidewalk. And if you've been a part of our church family, if you remember where we used to set up the tents and we'd had hospitality and coffee. I know, pray though. Who knows what the future holds, but coffee was out there. You know what I'm talking about, where those tents were? And if you're a guest, just, it doesn't matter. But I was walking down that sidewalk toward where the tents used to be between those two buildings. And I'm walking down there, and all of a sudden, as I get to the edge of what was the edge of the concrete then, which is way up close to the buildings, a lot more concrete. It's different. It doesn't matter. I'm wasting time. I get to the edge of the concrete. And all of a sudden, I'm not praying anymore. I'm distracted completely because all the way on the other side of the parking lot in the pine trees next to the neighbors, there were doves, like the bird, a dove. And I'm talking about more of them than I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, it was so staggering that it totally took my attention away. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I just remember thinking, like, that's a lot of birds. Like, it just caught me off guard. And I mean, they were everywhere, you guys. They were all up in those pine trees. They were fluttering down in groups to the ground. They were on the ground. I mean, I never seen, like, it would have been a dove hunter's dream. It was unbelievable. Hundreds of them all in the trees and down on the ground. And I was just amazed. It just took my attention. And then all of a sudden, a huge group of doves flew out of some trees and flew right over my head and behind me. And as they do, I just watch them and I just turn around, like, oh my gosh. And as soon as I turn around, the Lord began to speak. As clearly and as vividly as I have ever heard the still small voice of the Lord, I heard it that day. And as I'm watching these doves fly over my head, and they go right over top of me, and I'm watching them go, and I turned all the way around, and the Lord began to speak, and here's the words that he said. It's hard not to be emotional because it was so profound. He simply said, don't watch the ones that leave. And so I turned back around. And even though this sizable group of birds left, there was still hundreds. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it before or since. I'm pretty sure. That they were there for me. And when I turned back around, the Lord continued to speak. And in essence, he said, feed the ones who are here. And I'll never forget that moment. I went and wrote it down. It was a waste of my time. I'll never forget it. I mean, if I'm old and senile, I'll be able to recollect that story for you. So I bring that story up to say that I had no idea, I had no clue how profound that word would be for me year over year, season over season, as the lead pastor of this church. And so here, it's going to dip a little. And I know I've already started to cry, but it's going to get a little worse. And we're coming up, all right? I just want you to know where we're going. And I just want to confess some things to us in the living room, to the family of our church. I just want to be, like, transparent about some things that I cannot tell you how often I get distracted by the ones that leave. And I've led our church through enormous amounts of change in different seasons. Like, for example, I'll never forget when we went from one service to two. That was a big step of faith for us. And not everybody liked that idea, and not everybody stayed. Some people decided, because I can't see all of the church family at one time, this isn't the church for me, and they just found themselves in other places. And that's okay. That's okay. But it hurts. When we went from two services to three, people left. Most recently, when we expanded our church and created a kids' campus, which, again, a little bit risky. We weren't sure how that was going to go, and we wanted to emphasize the value of the next generation in our church, and we wanted to give them the room that they had desperately been needing for a long time, and we wanted to create more room for our church to be able to grow in at one time. Like, can I just pause for a second, jump in the parentheses, and tell you how thankful I am that we all can gather together at one time right now? Like, it's really a beautiful thing, and I thank God for it. And so we made this move, and much to my expectation, some people decided to leave. You guys remember COVID? You remember that thing? We were the oddball church that closed, opened, closed, and reopened. And the result of that, some people left. And I just want to tell you, that as the leader that God's called to this church, it is so difficult. Not to watch the ones that leave. Because I begin thinking things like, what have I done wrong? What leadership deficiency exists in me? What organizational excellence are we missing? What service are we not providing? What do we not have that they need? And I know that you guys, I get teased about it, and I definitely make fun of myself for it. I'm emotional and I cry a lot. Sometimes I cry alone. Because I'll think about the ones that leave. And can I say this as honestly and transparently as possible? It only hurts every time. 100%. It's never been a time someone left and I was like, phew. Now, not everybody's easy, but I'm not either. We're people. We're flawed. We have issues, right? But every time someone leaves, it puts a question in me, about us, about vision, about direction. I can't even tell you. And over and over and over and over again, year over year, season over season, I've had to go back to day one when God said, don't do that. Turn around and focus on the ones that are in front of you. And in this series, we're starting a brand new series today, and we're calling it Miracles in the Mundane. Miracles in the Mundane. Because how many of you know that God is the only one who can do a miracle? Like, God does miraculous things. And I want to take you to a verse. This is where we're going to start this morning. Psalm chapter 77, verse 14. The Bible says this, that you are the God who performs. Everybody say that word when they performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. God has this thing that he does. It's miraculous things all the time, over and over and over. And he does it among his people. In fact, the only way that God can move in the earth is through his church. It's the way that he set it up and established it, and it doesn't make a lot of sense because we don't know everything, and we've got all these issues, and we're broken, and we're flawed, and we're still trying to find our way closer and closer to his heart, and yet still, he's empowered the message of the gospel to us. Like, we are his ambassadors, but it is through us, it is through people that God does miraculous things. And here's what I've discovered, and here's the point of this series, is that oftentimes God does these things in the most routine and mundane things. Because sometimes we need God to do a miracle in us, and sometimes he does it simply because we just do the little things, the mundane things, the routine things. So this past Tuesday, this is the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey might say. This past Tuesday, me and Larry, one of the staff members of our church, we have a standing meeting that happens every other week, and we just decided, let's go to the local coffee shop. Let's just drive up the street. We'll sit and have this conversation over coffee and just new atmosphere, something different, cool, let's do this. We jump in my truck. We drive over to a little coffee shop locally, and this is, all right, you ready? Here, it's coming up now. You guys okay with that? It's going to start ramping up right here. And so we go into this coffee shop, and as soon as we walk in the doors, the first thing I see is a life group from Church on the Rock, a bunch of people just huddled around this table, like a good measure of them just hanging out. Of course, we're doing the whole, like, what's up, you know, and then I'm feeling a little guilty because I'm not trying to interrupt the life group, but at the same time, like, those are my people, you know, like, I love y'all, and, you know, they love us and all this thing. And so we're kind of doing, we're trying to do the whole, like, yeah, without interrupting their group, you know, and we go up and we get our coffees and then we go and we sit down at the table, and then a few minutes later, someone else walks, now people are just in and out of this place all the time, like lots of people, but all of a sudden another person walks in and I'm like telling Larry, I'm like, oh, this guy, he attends our church right here too, like, oh yeah, that's funny, that's funny. And then he comes around like, hey, good morning guys, good to see you, like, hey, good to see you too, man, God bless you, have a great day, you know, and boom, he's gone, and then a few minutes later, somebody else comes in and they're getting in the line, oh, look, she serves in Camp Rock Kids right there, you see her, she's in our church, and it was like that thing going on, like, oh, that's pretty cool, that's pretty cool, boom, and then they go, and then the life group gets up, and they're walking by us and talking and high-fiving and catching up with some people I haven't seen in a while and things like that. It was just, it was like lifting my heart. And then Larry and I get done with our meeting, and we walk outside, and there's some people there that used to be a part of this church that are now pastoring their own church in Holly Hill. Shout out to Eclectic Church down there, and we get to hang out and talk with them a little bit in the parking lot and all that stuff. And I just want to tell you that as I sat at that little table, not much bigger than this one, with one of my good friends, I was so lifted by you. I was lifted. Because I thought to myself, in a little old coffee shop in our city, the thing is full of our church family. And there are times that on the weekend, I will see you and be like, good morning, good to see you. Meanwhile, I'm thinking like, where's so-and-so? Oh man, what happened to them? Are they gone? Are they on vacation? Did they leave us? Is there another church better than us? But when I was sitting inside that coffee shop, and chances are that there is, but I still think we're a good one. Amen. If you're a guest and you're looking for a perfect church, keep shopping. Tell us when you find it. We'll go join you there. But if you're looking for a good church full of great people that love Jesus and love you, welcome home, okay? And so, amen. And so as I'm sitting, and I got to hustle, as I'm sitting there in that coffee shop, I was so lifted because I thought just in the everyday minutiae of our city as it goes, this little place just happened to be packed full of people from our church, full of life and laughter and smiles and prayer and all the things that were taking place in that little coffee shop. And I cannot tell you enough what it did for my heart. It just lifted me up to a whole nother level. And can I show you what it did for me? I walked into that coffee shop like this, and I left like this. Like, yeah. Like, yes. Every person that we encountered was incredible contributors to our church. Serving on teams, making a difference, giving, just being leading groups. Every single person we encountered had a high level of contribution to our church. And we have this core value here, and it says that we are contributors, not consumers. Don't just come to church, become the church. This is a value that we believe here. Like we're not here to consume, we're here to contribute. Because here's what I've discovered: if everybody's contributing, everybody is also receiving. It's unbelievable. When everybody serves, everybody is served, and it's a beautiful thing. And when I was sitting in the coffee shop, I thought to myself, that's my people. That's what all these people do. When I look across this room and I look into the lens of that camera, when I look across the balcony, I say, that's my people. Like, this is what they do. I get to be surrounded by a bunch of people who contribute to what God has called us to in this season. And I want to read a little story from Matthew chapter 25, and then I'm going to land the plane for us. We're going to read a story from Jesus, and Jesus is teaching, and he's talking about the kingdom of God, and he starts using, Jesus taught in parables, which are like stories that you could understand, practically understand something bigger that he's talking about. We're going to read one of those, because there's really only one thing I want to draw from it. The Bible says this, that again, it being the kingdom of God, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Verse 15, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another just one, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money back to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more bags. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid the master's money. Verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them.
The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. Verse 21, and here's where I really want us to focus. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 22, the man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, and see, I have gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done, good and, what's the word? Faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. I found it powerful because I felt like when I was in the coffee shop, I was seeing a bunch of good and faithful servants from our church all around me. It reminded me where to focus. It reminded me where to look. It reminded me that, like, we're a church filled with contributors that not only care about their personal relationships with Jesus, they care about the mission of the church that they're engaged in. They care about the people the church is called to reach. And I just kept thinking to myself, like, I may be the most blessed man I know to be surrounded by these people all of the time. What I want to say to you this morning, Church on the Rock, is like, way to go. What I want to say is that you deserve, in my opinion, a pat on the back because you are contributors. You live out this value that I'm not here to consume, I'm here to contribute. I'm here to make a difference. And if it's okay with you, I want to actually just read something that I wrote this week. When I was working on this message, my fingers started to move about as fast as they could go. I don't know how many words per minute I can type. I'm going to guess 50, but I was as fast as I could get it done trying to type this little paragraph. But I honestly typed it in a way that I don't like to like use notes, honestly, you might can tell. But I don't know that I could say it better than I typed it. So if it's okay, I'm just going to read exactly what I typed. I want you to hear me say this. I believe we are a part of something important and special. I believe God has miracles in store for Church on the Rock because we faithfully contribute to what He has entrusted us with. I believe we've yet to see the fullness of what He has for us and those around us, but will with our faithful contribution to His purpose over time. I believe we are not just people, but a family. A family that has been called by God for this moment in time, for this city, for His purpose. I believe that miracles are in our future and happening in our midst because God gives to those who faithfully contribute to the kingdom. I believe this is you. And I want to just furthermore say that I believe that moving into this auditorium and expanding our church and creating a kids' campus was in fact the right decision for us. I believe that every idea that we had about what this could be is in our future. I believe, can I just proclaim some things by faith in Jesus' name, that we are going to see every seat full, that we are going to see multiple services, that we are going to see contributions drive up so high that we are out there having a building that we're either building from the ground up or that we're renovating from something that we found, that God has a permanent residence for this family and for this mission. I believe that what God, I'm going to preach, that what he... What He began, in the hearts of our founding pastors in 1992, He intends to see through. When I became that, I don't have time, but I'm going to talk. When I became the lead pastor of this church in 2011, Quite honestly, there were more birds in that season that had left than had stayed. And there are a few of you, faithful. Thank you. Jamie and Derek Outley, Sandra Kent. Gosh, I could think of a few that were there back then. You've been in this church under the leadership of two pastors, not one. And a lot more birds in that season had left than had stayed. And there was a conversation. There was a conversation that happened among the highest level leaders in the church at that time. And the idea was, should we change the name of our church? Should we just change its name? And one of the people that was on board with this idea was Pastor Tom himself. Maybe it's better. Maybe it's like a clean slate. Maybe we just start fresh. And I said, no. God started something in 1992 in your hearts. I've not been called to change it. I've been called to continue it. And with just by faith in our living room among family, I'm telling you that I think that God has more in store for us. I'm telling you that I think that where we are, what we are doing, is exactly what God wants for this church. And yes, some people might not like the change. That's okay. That's okay. It's all right. There are so many incredible churches all around us. I'm talking about across the streets and across cities and across state lines. Man, life-giving, amazing churches everywhere. And I am the greatest champion of those leaders and those churches. I want to see their mission fulfilled in this city. I want to see their houses grow. I want to see lives changed and miracles happening in their churches too. But what I do know is that we are a church that has a mission. We are a church that is alive. We are a church that has purpose. And we are a church packed full of contributors that are going to see God do miraculous things in and among us in our church, and not just in the context of our churches, but our homes and our ministries and our jobs and our workplaces. I'm just trying to build the faith of Church on the Rock, coming fresh off of vacation and fresh out of a coffee shop where God just turned me around and reminded me one more time, don't look over there. Look right at who I have in front of you and feed them, because I've called you to something and I've called you to do something great in your city. And Church on the Rock, all I'm saying to you is this is the season. We're called to something great. God is going to do miracles in you, because if he's going to do miracles in the church, it has to be in you, because the church is not a building. The church is the people. Say amen right there. I'm going to finish with this verse. We'll close in prayer. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I promise we're almost done. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him, that you have helped his people, watch, and continue to do so. Contributors. Contributors. That's who you are. That's what you are. Let's watch. Let's watch. And see what God starts to do in us, because some of the most mundane things, just another third Sunday, just another serve, just another door, just another parked car, just another kid. No. God does miracles in our faithful contributions to his calls on our lives. Amen, everybody. Let's stand together all across the auditorium and the balcony. Once you're standing, if you can, I'm going to ask you if you would just close your eyes, bow your heads for me. I want to give the same invitation that I give every single Sunday morning, and I just believe that the power of God can invite people in. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never made a decision to follow Christ Jesus, but something about today just sort of beckoned you in. And here's what I want to say to you. Every eye closed, if you would, please, just for a moment. Every head bowed. Here's what I want to say to you. This is your day. This is your moment.